It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. Conservationists are mobilizing to save a pot of money that helps pay for things like access to streams, hiking trails, and parks. They want Congress to reauthorize a program that funds federal, state, and local projects.
I call the Land and Water Conservation Fund the best conservation program that most people have never heard of.
We'll hear all about it, as well as how Judge Brett Kavanaugh could affect abortion policies if confirmed as President Trump's pick for the Supreme Court. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. President Trump's pick for the Supreme Court begins his Senate confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill today. If confirmed, Judge Brett Kavanaugh will tip the court to the right and make overturning Roe v. Wade a possibility. 90.5 WESA's Lucy Perkins reports on how that could affect Pennsylvania and the rest of the country.
It began like any civilized debate about abortion.
The floodgates of outrage opened.
Are you ready to defend Roe versus Wade?
Now the fight over confirming Brett Kavanaugh begins.
There are already abortion cases in the pipeline that could reach the Supreme Court in the next couple years. And the court could change abortion laws in a couple different ways if it overturns Roe versus Wade. One scenario that really freaks out abortion rights activists is a ruling that says abortion is not a constitutional right. That would mean it would be up to states to legalize or ban abortion. So what would happen in Pennsylvania? Long story short, abortion would still be legal here. But
we return more or less to a situation like what we had before Roe was decided in the early 70s.
That's Jessica Ahrens with the ACLU. She estimates that almost half of states would ban abortion outright if Roe is overturned.
Another handful of states would protect it very explicitly, and a lot more would be in the middle, and Pennsylvania among them.
Sue Fritchie of the Women's Law Project agrees. She says that Pennsylvania doesn't have a trigger law that would immediately ban abortion, but it does have a convoluted patchwork of abortion restrictions.
We have tons of those kinds of laws. We don't have a law that generally criminalizes abortion.
Here's the list of Pennsylvania's abortion regulations. Abortions after 24 weeks are illegal, unless the life of the mother is in danger. Abortions based on the sex of the fetus are illegal. A minor needs parental consent unless she gets a waiver from a judge. Doctors must read a script to the patient that explains fetal development and the financial assistance that's available if she continues the pregnancy. And there's a mandatory 24-hour waiting period after that counseling session before she can have the procedure.
Please turn away.
Come on, man!
There are other options.
Every week, anti-abortion activists stand outside a Pittsburgh clinic that provides the procedure. They've protested here for decades, and they'll likely still come here if Roe is overturned. Protester Andrew Battiato comes here with his wife and baby most Saturdays.
We will be so excited when this stops, but that it by no means is the end. You know, if abortion is banned outright, will it still happen? And I think most likely, yes.
Horatio Mihaut with Liberty Counsel says the court could go further and do more than just overturn Roe.
If the rationale of the Supreme Court would be that Roe versus Wade was incorrectly decided because an unborn human being has a right to life under the Constitution, then no state could continue to allow abortions.
Mihaut opposes abortion rights, but he and Jessica Ahrens at the ACLU do agree on one thing. It's highly unlikely the court would outlaw abortion outright. I'm Lucy Perkins in Pittsburgh.
Judge Kavanaugh is considerably more conservative than the justice he would replace, a fact celebrated by the anti-abortion advocacy group, the Susan B. Anthony List. The organization has been touring several states during the past few weeks, urging Democratic senators like West Virginia's Joe Manchin to vote to confirm Kavanaugh. As Carol Lofton reports, the group recruited students and families to attend several West Virginia rallies from out of state.
About 30 people, including eight or so children, have gathered outside Senator Manchin's office in Fairmont. They're holding signs saying things like, "Confirm Kavanaugh," and "I vote pro-life," Almost everyone here is from out of state.
I'm passionate about, you know, getting pro-life leaders elected into office.
Ella Witt is a master's student at Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio, and the West Virginia field director for the Susan B. Anthony List. A week ago, she posted in a public Facebook group for the university, offering $150 to anyone willing to attend the West Virginia pro-life events in Wheeling, Parkersburg, and Fairmont. At least for the Parkersburg and Fairmont rallies, almost exactly the same group attended both events.
And you see, sometimes I think people can try to take that and twist that, and that's totally wrong. What it is, people would not be coming out here and doing something and door knocking. You know, it takes a lot of courage to go and knock on a door. It takes a lot of courage to stand and talk to reporters and behind a camera. People aren't going to do that if they're not passionate about it. What's important to us is that if we have the means to be able to, you know, thank them and, you know, pay them for their time.
Paying protesters is not unheard of and is in practice by both liberal and conservative groups. What's most interesting about this case is that most of the rallygoers are from out of state. This push is representative of just how much organizers want an anti-abortion judge on the country's highest court. Manchin's office did not respond to a request for comment about the statewide rallies. Sue Swayze-Leibel, director of the SBA List National Pro-Life Women's Caucus, was the main speaker at the West Virginia event.
We actually believe that Judge Kavanaugh is a very experienced jurist in his own right, has a lot of constitutional knowledge and experience, and is certainly on the life issue, issues of conscience, religious freedom, etc.
While there weren't counter-protesters at any of last week's events, the grassroots advocacy organization West Virginia Working Families Party held their own event outside Republican Senator Shelley Moore Capito's office in Morgantown. They expressed concerns about Kavanaugh's judicial record on health care insurance, specifically coverage of pre-existing conditions, labor law, and protections for people with disabilities. Counter-protesters also attended a Charleston Susan B. Anthony event held in July. In August, the Susan B. Anthony List launched a $1.6 million issue advocacy campaign to, quote, educate West Virginia voters about Senator Manchin's support for taxpayer funding for Planned Parenthood, America's largest abortion business. The West Virginia push seems to be twofold. Firstly, to pressure Manchin into voting to confirm, while simultaneously turning West Virginia voters against the senator, who they say has flip-flopped on the issue. Here's a clip from one of two radio ads playing on commercial stations.
We expect our senators to represent our state's pro-life values. But Senator Joe Manchin is trying to have it both ways. Manchin calls himself pro-life, but he has repeatedly voted to spend more of your tax dollars to fund Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in the country.
Organizers say they hope the senator will, quote, respect the will of West Virginians, pointing to a poll they commissioned that found, quote, 59% of West Virginia voters want Senator Joe Manchin to confirm President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, and 57% of West Virginia voters believe abortion policy for West Virginia should be decided by the people of West Virginia through their elected officials, not the Supreme Court. Sue Leibel again.
There are other senators like Senator Manchin. Of course, the confirmation vote's going to be in the Senate, so we need senators to vote for Kavanaugh. And we've been going to other states with some Democratic senators that we know have said they're pro-life or maybe have flip-flopped on the issue back and forth. We want to see if we can't encourage them to vote to confirm.
The organization has also been holding events and canvassing in Missouri, Indiana, and Florida, among others, where Leibel says the votes are critical. They hope to not only get Kavanaugh in office, but are looking forward to November, when midterm elections will determine who holds Manchin's seat. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. Ed Perry worked as a biologist at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for decades. He says that up until a few years ago, he wasn't even aware of a program called the Land and Water Conservation Fund. It was established by Congress in 1964 and funded with royalty payments from the oil and gas industry. The Allegheny Front's Kara Holsoppel sat down with Perry about his concerns that the program could disappear.
And the purpose was to preserve, create, and ensure access to outdoor recreation facilities to strengthen the health of all Americans. Over the past 50 years or so, there's been like 40,000 projects all across the country that have been funded. Here in Pennsylvania, we've been lucky. There's been 1,500 projects all across the state to the tune of $315 million, like expansions of state game lands, access to streams for fishermen, playgrounds, swimming pools, expansions of rails to trails. Anything you can think to do with outdoor recreation has likely got some land and water conservation fund money in it.
I believe the land for the Flight 93 National Memorial was purchased with this fund.
Yes, that's exactly right. There's $10 million in the Flight 93 Memorial. Just about all the Civil War battlefields, Gettysburg, Valley Forge, Antietam, that also has land and water conservation fund money in it. There's what's called a Forest Legacy Program. There's state matching grants for that also. And this helps landowners who are, some of them are in trouble financially. So they use this money to help them manage their forest, which, of course, is a benefit to wildlife and fish.
So this program is set to sunset on September 30th. Is there really a danger that it won't be reauthorized by Congress?
It'd be like predicting what the stock market is going to do. We never know what this Congress will do. There appears to be still some strong bipartisan support on this. But when you think back over time what Congress has done with the money, if you would total up all the money for the past 54 years or so that the LWCF has been in operation, we should have gotten $48 billion. Instead, almost half of that has been diverted to other uses. There should be a pot of money that is permanently there every year per the legislation, and that the state and federal governments can access for projects for outdoor recreation and for fish and wildlife conservation.
How many times has it been reauthorized?
Well, the first time it was reauthorized for 25 years, and then another 25-year reauthorization. And then in September of 2015, they only reauthorized it for 3 years. And I'm not sure why that happened. I'm suspicious that some of the Western congressmen don't like land and water conservation fund monies going to public lands out west. There's no taxpayer dollars in this. This is like a no-brainer for us to take action on this. This is something that the drillers owe the people of the United States for polluting the Gulf of Mexico and for taking a public resource that belongs to all Americans. I grew up, you know, in the early 50s in Cleveland, Ohio, overlooking the steel mills. And my ball field was a weedy field next to a busy highway where we couldn't hit the left field because we might hit a car, break a car windshield. And here today, we have this great program that has benefited so many Americans. This program is the reason why their kids can go to these parks, why we have these great national parks, Yellowstone, the Everglades, Acadia. All of these have land and water conservation fund money in them.
Well, what do you say to critics of the program, like the Conservative Heritage Foundation, who say the fund has been popular with lawmakers because they associate it with those local parks, but that it expands federal land and control over land and water that would be better managed by state and local officials?
Well, some of these legislators have advocated that they take over these public lands or sell them off. There has been pushback within their own legislators saying, there is no way that we have the taxpayer dollars to manage these lands like the federal government has done. And the only reason they want to sell these lands off is to open them up for oil and gas drilling, mineral extraction, and timbering, even though the amount of revenue and employment that the oil and gas industry generates for the West is nothing compared to the outdoor recreation industry.
And what about the outdoor recreation industry in Pennsylvania? How does it benefit from this program?
This is big business now. The Outdoor Recreation Outdoor Industry Association estimates that recreation generates $29 billion in consumer spending in Pennsylvania, supporting 250,000 jobs all across the state. I mean, that's big business.
Ed Perry is the Pennsylvania Outreach Coordinator for the National Wildlife Federation, speaking there with the Allegheny Front's Kara Holsoppel. Harry says the Trump administration's proposed budget nearly zeroes out the Land and Water Conservation Fund. He and others are lobbying Congress to permanently reauthorize it and fully fund it at $900 million per year. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glynis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.